Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Today's been an interesting day in terms of economic data. CPI, consumer price inflation, increased for the second consecutive month. It was at 2.8% in October, 2.9% in November last year, and increased to 3% in December. Interesting creep that's certainly taking place, but what does this mean for us as consumers, the reality of the MPC next week, and of course, underlying themes we need to be mindful of here. Dr. Alna Moorman, Standard Bank Group Head for South Africa Macroeconomic Research, joins us now to tell us more. Dr. Moorman, such a pleasure to have you.
Good evening.
Interesting number in terms of the print. It certainly does fall within that bracket of the MPC, but maybe let's just get your observations and views of the slow creep we've seen over the month of October, November, through to December's 3%.
Absolutely. I think we should almost think rather of the October-November data points as exceptions. So we had exceptional factors, specifically very low fuel prices or low fuel inflation that drove inflation to be below the Reserve Bank's 3 to 6% target range. So December is almost to some extent getting closer to normality, but it is quite a complex number insofar as many factors played a role in keeping inflation quite low towards the end of last year. So I'll highlight maybe three or four themes. The first is food inflation, very low, just 1.7% on a year-on-year basis. Then fuel prices, down more than 10% again on a year-on-year basis. And what we also saw in this data was very low rental inflation, below 3% at the end of last year.
That's quite refreshing. So I guess there's interesting dynamics in terms of reprieve in the property sector. But beverages caught my attention. That went up by 13%, Dr. Moorman.
Yeah, so the entire food and beverages complex is underpinned by so many different factors playing a role. So if we think about this, what's important is to remember that we're comparing it with 2023 when we had so many disruptions, food bans, for example, in some countries, etc. What also played a role was that shortage of coffee beans at some stage last year that gave you a strong increase in prices generally, and they remained quite elevated. So if you look at the year-on-year number, hot beverages, 13.5%, but month-on-month, really low, just 0.2%. So it's not recent momentum, it's really the prior price increases and prices just remaining quite elevated. But like I say, it's so many factors playing a role. If we think back to 2023, which is the base that we're comparing this with, then like I said, we had, for example, rice bans from India. We had a shortage of eggs with the outbreak of avian flu. We had foot and mouth disease. And so just so many factors. And so this number is almost as much about what happened in the comparable periods of 2023 as it is about what's happening now and what's recent. But what is important is this is signaling very strong relief for consumers. I mean, food inflation, just 1.7%, is certainly below most people's income growth. And so a little bit of reprieve for consumers after some tough months.
100%. As you say, you know, it's one thing to look at the year-on-year numbers and what the monthly shifts have been. But when you take a look at the overall inflation figure for 2024, which I see came in at 4.4% versus the average 6% in 2023. What's your analysis, I guess, then on the inflationary environment that we had last year and how it might have been felt by us as consumers?
So the one driver here is fuel prices. I've already mentioned on a year-on-year basis in December, very low, minus 10%. Yes. So that certainly played a big role in anchoring inflation or keeping prices quite contained in the second half of last year. And of course, that provides a little bit of relief. And like I said, similar with food prices. What is also then interesting in this data is the rental inflation. I referred to that being quite low, but we can almost think of that as a barometer for how weak consumer spending was towards the end of last year. In other words, it just wasn't possible to put up rental costs even further. And so it's also a reflection of just how weak it was. And I think that's the one takeaway for the Reserve Bank, is that not only is the year-end number quite weak, the 3% relative to the higher average that you've mentioned, but it's also very clearly signaling the pressure that we still have on consumers.
Big question, of course, what does this mean for the MPC who are set to meet next week?
I think it is a tough call, and it's going to be a very strong and intense debate. Because on the one hand, if we look backwards, then this old inflation data for 2024 is very benign, and the momentum is very benign. And like I said, it's clearly signaling no demand pressure in the economy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the Reserve Bank is going to be a little bit concerned about the Rand's recent weakness. And of course, it will take time before we see the impact of that on the economy and on inflation specifically. But I still think on balance, there's scope for the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates in total by another 0.5 percentage point. So at least providing a little bit more relief for consumers, but that 0.5 percentage point, of course, split over some meetings. So still moving in 0.25 percentage points at a time.
This might be an unfair question, Dr. Moorman, but it's been on everybody's lips for the last month and a half, I guess. The Donald Trump presidency 2.0. We've seen him signing a few bills into law and making some amendments. Lots of concerns about how he'll approach tariff increases, not only to his neighboring countries, Mexico and Canada, China as well, and maybe even Africa. What risks, I mean, are, have they been calculated or viewed in terms of a Trump presidency and his influence on global inflation that could have ripple effects on us here in South Africa?
Yeah, so I think our one concern is just all this uncertainty, right? So you have all these potential policy changes, but we're not sure how many of those will be implemented. Now, our view is reasonably benign. So our view is you have all these potential policy changes of global tariff increases and very significant tariff increases, but our base case view is that ultimately, we won't really see that we will see far more pragmatic tariff increases, very focused, perhaps against very specific countries for specific reasons, etc. So on the one hand, that means that the impact should be reasonably benign. It shouldn't be as severe as it could have been if everything was implemented. And at the same time, I think financial markets, specifically very early this year, almost discounted a worst-case scenario. And given our view that that isn't going to materialize, it means that we think there is scope, for example, for the Rand to recover a little bit further, etc. So that then helps, again, if we come back to the inflation picture. So we are reasonably constructive in terms of financial markets initially, at least, discounting a very bad scenario. And we think reality will be slightly better than that.
Got you. Well, let's hope so. 1850 is where we're trading currently to the US dollar. So if there's more reprieve, as South Africans, we'll definitely take it. It's what we like to see. Such a pleasure speaking to you, Dr. Moorman.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Elna Moorman from Standard Bank Group, Head of South African Macroeconomic Research, joining us for more details in terms of inflation data.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.